Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Our new time slot, noon to three, every day. Excited about that. And every Monday at two, we'll continue our conversations with the great John McClain, who joins us now. John, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Kind of been talking today about Brian Callahan. He kind of got into a profanity-filled tirade yesterday against his offense. They haven't looked very good through training camp. And what's interesting is this is not really – I mean, Brian Callahan is not that type of guy. Like, he's very mild-mannered. Vrabel, I mean, the F word was every other word. But Brian Callahan is not that way. So when a coach has to do that, that usually isn't that way, do you think the team receives the message?
Absolutely do. It reminds me of last year when Will Levis had those brain dead plays and he came out and spoke out and told the truth. And he was a young first year coach. That kind of surprised me, but that endears him to the fans and the media and probably a lot of the players as well, because they were trying to figure him out last season. And when a coach is every other word is an F bomb, they tend to go in one ear and out the other. That's the way it was here with Bill O'Brien. And some coaches are like that, and players understand it and they accept it. But when you've got a guy that doesn't, and he does, to me, if I'm a player, that gets my attention even more. Now, the problem is they've got a new quarterback. He's a rookie quarterback. They have new linemen, but it's not like they're starting over at some of the positions. And so I don't – maybe, you know, they're a work in progress, and it starts with Ward, of course. But then back to your question, I think it's good. You don't want a coach being someone he's not. I've seen that, too, where a coach should be one way. People would say, oh, he needs to be this way. Then he would try, and players would see right through it because it's phony BS. But we'll see if it has an effect on the offense. I'm just like here. Texans offensive line, which is terrible last offseason, is all new except for one starter at a new position, and they're getting beat up every day in practice. And it shows with C.J. Stroud. Now, D'Amico Ryan's not the kind that's gonna start throwing out F-bombs, but you know people here are frustrated that the offense is not better.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN was here this weekend and kind of wrote a blog about what he saw with the Titans. And one thing he mentioned was that the Titans seem to be okay with what Brandon Allen's done as the backup to this point. But he mentions they'll monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month. Do you buy that would be just to try and upgrade the backup? Or could you see that maybe they want to get an insurance policy just in case something happens with Cam Ward? Or maybe they get to the point where they realize he just needs a little more time.
I think that since they will get all the first dubs on waiver players, there's going to be some quarterbacks waived. And maybe they trade a low pick for a guy that's third. I don't know. And Brandon Allen has started some games, but it just depends on what they think about him. And I think for sure they're going to be in the market for another one, because you don't want Allen – if say Ward gets hurt for four games, Brandon Allen can fill in. If Ward gets hurt for longer than that, they're going to go searching for a quarterback with more starting experience. And this is something that they won't want to hear, but it's something I always tell people. I told people here when the Texans are bad, okay, so what if they lose? They're going to get a higher draft pick, and they're not going anywhere this year. Titans are not going anywhere this year. So if things don't work out and they continue to lose, that's not what they want. But there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, and that is our pick.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, let's move over to the Micah Parsons saga, which is going with the Cowboys. You think Jerry Jones likes this? Because he seems to have it. Does it seems on the outset it doesn't bother him, the message, you know, don't lose any sleep over this. I think he kind of enjoys this back and forth with guys that hold out.
I think you're right, Joe, and I think he's not losing any sleep over it. Jerry Jones doesn't care what people think about him. I don't think he cares about what his own players and coaches think. He's going to do his business, his business the way he's always done it, and it's going to be to drive hard bargains with your top players who want to be paid the highest at their position. They eventually get it done. But if he had a problem and didn't like the verbal sparring, he wouldn't do it. He's the only owner that I've ever heard of who had a weekly show and then a postgame show, and where 99% of them have no shows. And, they're never boring as long as Jerry's got a controversy, which means they're never boring.
Exactly. So you think they get it done, right?
I think they get it done, yes.
And it's funny because I'm looking and I'm reading all day, like, the Carolina Panthers are willing to give up everything to get Micah Parsons. And I think if Jerry and Micah Parsons can't come to a deal, why not trade him to one of the worst teams in football? I think that'd be hilarious on my end, but I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, well, on the other hand, there's no guarantee you're going to get a pass rusher to do what he does. And one of the problems Jerry has is he likes to talk to the player and not the agent so much. Maybe if he talked to the agent, David Mulligetta, this already would have been done. It all gets run by the agent. Agent signs off on it. But it's a peculiar and perplexing, if you're a Cowboys fan, way of doing business.
John, I saw something the other day. I don't have it in front of me, but it was about the 2018 Baltimore Ravens draft. I don't know if you saw this or not. It's now become the one draft class that's had the largest guaranteed signing of contracts, like defensive tackle Zach Zeeler's now with the Dolphins. But it just shows you, you've talked on this show for all we've had you for these couple of years, how great the Ravens have done in drafting players. And this announcement, how that class, now some have moved on, obviously, how great the front office has been with the Ravens. And it proves true what you've been saying along. They've just drafted so well over the years.
John Harbaugh does a great job of coaching, but the personnel people bring in the players. And he signs off on it. He has a big role in who they bring in. And their philosophy is, if you get to a point where you can't pay them or don't want to pay them, let them walk. Get a third-round compensatory pick if possible. Make sure you do a good job with your compensatory picks. And that's been their formula for success. Now, whoever decided there and said, you know what, we need to trade back into the first round and consider taking this kid from Louisville, that turned out to be one of the all-time great moves to trade back in there and get Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if that started up at the top with Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta, who replaced him as the GM, was his right-hand man, or if John Harbaugh wanted to do it. Probably somebody had to suggest it, and everybody signed off on it. And if it hadn't worked out, you know, it was at the bottom of the first round, it wasn't any big deal, but turned out to be an incredible deal. And as you guys know, if you have your quarterback, and that quarterback's playing great, and should have won the MVP award last year because it was the best season of his career, but he lost it to Josh Allen, then you're going to be good and competitive and a contender for a long time. That stability in that organization and what you want, an owner who gives money and stays out of it, that is ideal for any professional sport.
Oh, absolutely. Only two of the guys remain with the Ravens. Of course, Lamar is there. But you actually, what stood out to me, John, is that two undrafted free agents in 2018 have guaranteed contracts right now in the NFL. That's just, they should be kind of the blueprint for other teams, like you just talked about, how well they scout, how well they draft.
Absolutely, it should be. And they lose coaches, and they replace them with good coaches. And that coaching tree of John Harbaugh didn't get a lot of attention, like, say, Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, but he should.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe. And, of course, John, every week is presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, continuing our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, another guy in a contract dispute, Terry McLaurin, the fine receiver from Washington. Again, I kind of look at this the same way as I look at Micah Parsons. I think eventually they get it done. They know they got a young quarterback and a receiver that he can trust. But what's kind of your opinion on that situation?
The problem that they have with McLaurin, he's 30 years old. He's about to turn 30. And receivers are 30 on their third contract, don't get the big bucks. I saw Bill Barnwell have a great breakdown on ESPN last week about receivers like Mike Evans and great receivers who got a third contract, but it wasn't nearly as good as guys were getting on their second, and he's not going to get it. And at some point, he'll come in, I'm guessing, around 23 or 24 million, and they'll get that issue resolved, because if it was a different position, it'd be a different thing. But the fact that he means so much to Daniels, and Daniels has got so much confidence in him, they have got to get that deal done, and I believe they will.
As I kind of read, about other things going on in other training camps, you know, the Rams are a team that I can't really figure out, like, if they got one more left in them of trying to be something, or if they're just not going to be that good. But one thing that is standing out, and if Rams fans should be concerned, is Matthew Stafford isn't practicing right now. How big of a concern do you think that is in Los Angeles?
Anytime somebody's got a back injury and they don't know exactly what it is, and it kind of has, you can take treatment all you want, you can get surgery, but backs, as someone who's had back surgery, you can, no matter what you do, they're going to heal when they want to heal. And people here tell them, well, take your time, let him take off that first game against the Texans, bring him back for the second, you don't want to rush it. The fact is, he's been durable his entire career. He doesn't need this time. He's been in the same system, and they got a lot of talent. They're favored to win the West. You know, they almost beat Philadelphia in the snow in Philadelphia last year, played better against the Eagles than any team. They got balance, running, receiving. And I think they're a legitimate contender, and I don't have a clue. I read everything I can about what's going on there, and it looks like Sean McVay, he doesn't know. Coaches don't know when a guy's going to come back from an injury.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, I don't know if you heard the interview we had with John Robinson last Thursday. We talked to him. It's the first time he's really spoken publicly about all that went on with the Titans out there. As a, you know, baseball managers get 4 and 5, 6 jobs, right? Do NFL general managers, how often do they get a second chance, John?
Very seldom. And what you have to do is you have to get a job with another team and take it like assistant GM or head of player personnel, have your team do well, and then you get more interviews. And there's a lot of guys that thought they might get another chance. Charlie Casserly got one because he had been fired from Washington, and then he was out of work and had a chance when the Texans got their franchise. They interviewed him, and he had a chance, long time to talk to Bob McNair because he was unemployed. So he got his second general manager's job with the Texans. But it's just very unusual because owners hold it against GMs more than they hold it against coaches.
John, in your expert opinion, who is the best general manager in football right now?
Boy, it'd have to be – it's not necessarily the most important teams. Like, people talk about John Lynch. He doesn't have final say. People talk about Brett Veach in Kansas City. He doesn't have final say. John Schneider, all those years with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll had final say. So, and a lot of them, like Kyle Shanahan, has it in his contract. But when I see people say, and this is mainly national people, John Lynch did this, John Lynch did that, and he might have. But Kyle Shanahan had to sign off on it. So we were talking about Eric DaCosta from Baltimore. What team has been consistently better? And John Harbaugh has a big say, but DaCosta has final say. Say Sean Payton, he has final say. Bill Belichick had final say every year, but his first one, which was a losing record. So you can take teams that are consistently good and look and see the GMs that have the last word, like here, Nick Caserio has in his contract that he is in charge of all personnel, which means, and he works closely with D'Amico Ryans, tries to get the kind of players Ryans wants, tries to get the players, specific players Ryans wants, which isn't all possible. But I'm going with DeCosta.
I like that. John, the Titans travel to Tampa for a game with them next Saturday, preseason game. Probably won't see Baker Mayfield at all take the field. What can teams take away, or front offices take away, from the maturity of a Baker Mayfield? Because, look, the Bucs have signed him up now for another three-year guaranteed, $100 million, whatever it is. What's the story there with Baker Mayfield when you look at it with the 5,000-foot view of his kind of movement through the National Football League?
If you look at the seasons he had with the Browns, he took them to the playoffs. He beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. He had a year where he threw for almost 4,000 yards. But they kept changing people on him, changing general managers, and owners were not very good. So then he has a cup of coffee in Carolina, L.A., and then he gets to a team that just the coaching, the offensive system, it just kind of fit. And a lot of it's probably him as well. He just kind of matured, grew up, and that maturity off the field helped him on the field. Now it looks like he'll be with the Bucs forever. Last year he threw 40 touchdown passes, Baker Mayfield. And so I think he is an example for any quarterback who struggles with one team or gets cut a couple times, that what your career can become if you get with the right team, and that isn't always taking the most money.
John McClain is with us. I saw a piece that I guess Shedeur Sanders said he doesn't want Deion, his father, at training camp, doesn't want any distractions and any of that stuff. Do you think he's going to end up being the starter?
No, I don't think he's going to be the starter. And I think, you know, he told Deion he didn't want him to come to camp. And I don't blame him. Deion comes. He's a distraction. Everybody's talking to Deion. What do you think about your son being a fifth-round pick? What do you think about him being fourth team? No, I think they took Dylan Gabriel for a reason, and they liked him better than Shedeur Sanders. So I think if somebody besides Flacco or Pickett starts, Gabriel get the first chance. But they may have a lot of turnover early in the season with their quarterbacks, because the truth is right now, none's very good. Flacco benched last year in Indy. Pickett's already bouncing around like a pinball. Maybe Pickett at some point could be like Baker Mayfield, because he was a first round pick and he's had some success, but people are kind of counting him out. But if it's the two rookies, I'm going with Gabriel. Doesn't mean Sanders won't start at some point, though. I just don't think it'll be any time as a rookie.
Is Pickett the kind of guy that maybe the Titans could be interested in? Young enough that, you know, is still developable, you know, they could develop him, but also has some experience as a starter?
That's a great point. He might be ideal. If he understood, you're not going to be the starting quarterback. You're not going to be competing for the starting quarterback job. But you'll be playing if you get hurt, and we're going to pay you a little more money than you would get in ordinarily, to see if that works. Now, he might want to go somewhere where he's got a chance to start, and that would not be with the Titans.
No, it would not. John, appreciate it as always. We're excited to continue this with you and doing some Reaction Mondays coming up in the season.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Where you go, I go.
We appreciate it. Thank you, John. John McClain joining us. Presented by Maple Street Biscuits, Wake Up to Wow. Okay.
Ask him for some beers in Minnesota this weekend.
I should have mentioned that. What if? We like the what if game.
We love the what if game.
What if Kenny Pickett's the odd man out in Cleveland? Would you rather have him than Brandon Allen?
Nope. Not at all.
You explain why coming up next. Jason Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.